I don't know about you, but when I go to an Explorer to get in my mail, I kind of look and see what they're pushing. You know, I mean, whatever they're pushing on, I just want to see what they're pushing on us. You know, news media. You know, and what I've noticed, at least from mine, is there's a lot of Bible stuff coming up. You know, I mean, I don't know if you buy my. What are they trying to get to us? And a lot of it's kind of negative. Some's positive. You know, I mean, you know, there's got to be a religious desire coming out when the Antichrist comes here. Hidden tales by a Bible plot lines without an ending. I mean, I read some of this here. What does the Bible say about all these issues? 10 ways the Bible has changed throughout history. And as I read these, and I got time for my message, but, you know, the change in the Bible, the words, and I mean, they're lightly just digging that book. Oh, it's a changing book. It's an ongoing book and everything, you know. A lot of questioning the Word of God. And that's what it says back there in Genesis 3. Yea, hath God said. Nothing really ever changes. It's kind of the techniques, and now they got colors and music behind all that, you know. But you can see that somehow this Bible is going to come up again, and we know who, the Antichrist, can be able to answer a lot of these questions that they throw at you, all those questions you have. World be gone, and those, oh, that's how that all works, trying to get in the one world kind of government together. So it's just all part of exciting times, and I hope you see that. I hope you see it. Okay. I want to continue on, and our 10,000th view of the study has been the heart, and I've been many times showing you some characteristics and what I like about the study of Paul, because this is an application of a mature Christian here, you know, in Acts 19, 20, 22, where now he's been through a lot and the Lord's dealt with them, and now he has application. I'm hearing a lot of doctrine in Acts. There's some good doctrine in Acts 15 and things, but now here's what he's going through and here's how he's dealing with people. And that's kind of, so we should learn from his good example, right? I mean, there's a lot of things I'm sure Paul learned, and God didn't put him in there. Hey, you know, he had trouble in the flesh. He says in the flesh, oh, who knows what that was? But now here, in the last few years, we see Paul dealing with people and take note. Oh, look how he did that. Anyone I've noticed? If you're in the ministry, and I mean in the ministry, I don't mean full-time pastor, your life kind of should be part of ministry, you know, minister to your family and your kids and so forth. So you're dealing with people, the world. Hey, a lot of times I go, hey, what though? That works. You know, so it's just, you know, see what God recorded and use the same techniques, only God gives us personalities and characteristics and things and see how it works out. So we're continuing on that. And we left off here in Acts chapter 21, and we looked here at verse number 31 here. So chapter 21, and what we have here is Paul, they want to kill Paul. I mean, he's just standing for the word, and his own Jewish brethren, I mean, brethren and Jews, wanted to kill him. So in Acts chapter 21, in verse 31, it says, and as they went about to kill him, tidings came into the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. So he could cause some trouble here. Now, look how Paul handled the situation. This is where we really use Greek and Hebrew, and I say that tongue in cheek, but look how he used Greek and Hebrew here in a proper way to kind of get out of a beating. Kind of interesting how he did it here. Paul used wisdom of a skill and knowledge in the Greek language. Look at verse number 37. It says, and as Paul was to be led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, may I speak unto thee? So there's this polite tone. I'm actually, may I speak unto you? Who said, canst thou speak Greek? So obviously, he's saying this in the Greek language here to get this guy's attention, showing that it was not part of the uproar of the Egyptians here, you know. It says right here in the following verse, aren't thou not that Egyptian which before these days made us an uproar and lead us out unto the wilderness, 4,000 men that were murdered? So you probably assume these Jews always one of those guys there, you know, the Egyptians. A Hamite? So he was associating with the bad crowd. You know, kind of like, we don't want to be associated with, like, Black Lives Matter. Get that, you know? So there's some crowds, some groups that are troublemakers. I would call them troublemakers, amen? You know? And you want to be associated. Oh, you're one of those? No. You want to separate yourself. But, of course, what they were doing, the enemy was putting them inside that group. Get that? Nothing ever changes. Oh, you're one of those. Or one of those street guys there, whatever it is. You're trying to associate with a bad group. And so by using, hey, I'm not speaking their language. I'm a Greek guy here, speaking Greek. And so he knew right away that he was not part of that movement. And this gave the captain opportunity now so that Paul could defend himself. Now, given an opportunity to defend himself, Paul spoke right here in the Hebrew language. Now he's addressing his Jewish people, which were Hebrews back then. So God, when God saved Paul, he knew way ahead of time. That's how God does these things. Hey, he was a Pharisee, you know, all that, and had languages and all these upbringings of Pharisee. And God used that later in life to be able to ministry. So you may have a sphere influence that I don't have. God could put you somewhere where he won't get me into. So keep that in mind so you can minister. The cool thing is being a minister for folks. So now, given an opportunity, Paul spoke in Hebrew, the Hebrew language, and Judaism to address his listeners and to show that he was a devout Jew and had respect for the Jewish laws and customs. So the application, if you want to minister to people with the max effectiveness, speak their language. Whatever, you know, sometimes, you know, in your own craft, or in here, it was literally, to his fellow Jews. Missionaries go overseas, and generally the first thing they do is they learn the language, right? I mean, as I remember my missionaries that take off, they're learning German, they're learning Hebrew, for in Israel, they're learning the language because they now, oh, you're an American, you can see that, but hey, you speak my language. You kind of get an ear to that. Why is this guy speaking our language? So the language of the people today is mostly English. And what's interesting is if you go to any airports or you go Google, you'll see Japan, Japanese, and English right under it. That's the language of the world. It really is English. You can't fly a plane without knowing English. You know, I mean, you know, absolute time is English time, right? Absolute location is English. Greenwich, the equator. Absolute temperature is British thermal unit. English. Perfect Bible, an English Bible, right? How can you miss it, right? God just used English now. And so obviously you can see, but how Paul used this to kind of get in there and minister. People, we have the English words right now, a universal language. And so that's what you can see God using that. You know, hindsight's really nice. Hindsight's, and the more we've gotten all this truth, but yet still we're kind of in the latest in age, kind of a oxymoron. The more, you know, all these tools we have of making your home run better. I got power sauce, power everything, right? And then what happens? I have no more time. So all this time, I can't figure it out. They were using old hacksaws here, and now all these tools, conveniences, you know, hit the button, you're washing dishes, hitting the button, you do this here, but yet, where's our time go? Isn't that the strangest thing in the world? Did it make sense to you? Figure that out. I don't get it. Okay. So, and now let's look at Acts 22, verses number 3 and 5. It says here, and I am verily a man which am a Jew, both in Tarsus, the city, Cilicia, yet brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, and thought according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. So here's Paul kind of now trying to, you know, get himself in their shoes, you know, put himself where he's at. And I persecuted the way unto the death, binding and delivering unto prisons, both men and women, and also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom I also received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were bonded in Jerusalem to be punished. So now Paul's now is relating to this, and he's using that word Gamaliel. That was a really respected priest. So he's trying to speak to his Hebrew people, and he knows they're stubborn. And how he relates to Mahi, he was doing the same thing. And a little bit about this Gamaliel, he was a well-known, honored high priest. If you go back to Acts 5:34, says, "Then stood there up one of the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had a reputation among the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And said unto them, 'Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves that ye intend to do as touching these men.'" Paul was showing his credentials as a well-educated man trained up under a respected Jewish rabbi. So he's relating to him there. You know, he didn't have a cocky attitude. I think he might have in the beginning, but you can see as he matured in the Lord, he's kind of now relating people so to get the gospel out. You see that? Get the gospel out. Paul was relating to these zealous people, Jewish law. Paul was gaining trust, application. Paul was gaining trust so that he could get their attention to deliver his testimony, which he does in the next 15 verses, and present the gospel. So the key thing is, folks have to be ready to listen. If you're not listening, how many times have people talking to a brick wall, right? You can tell they're not listening. Hey, when I go to PGM or to jails, you know what I do? I look at the people. Are they listening? I mean, getting them to listen is the key. If they don't listen to the words, I mean, maybe subconsciously they're getting something, but if they're just playing around, I mean, many, many times at the jails, I can't tell you, someone's talking, maybe taking turns preaching a little bit. I look, I could tell they're in the day room, they can't go anywhere, they're in jail, you know? And I could tell a lot of the Muslims, they're just caught, they're trying to make noise. I could just see. And then I could see that happening. You know, people, listen, some are listening. Hey, man, what am I going to do? Some are very open, you know. I could see that. But Paul was trying to get their attention. So use your background, talents, skills, you know, traits, religious upbringing to get your testimony to present the gospel. Amen. I mean, I got a Catholic background. So when someone's Catholic, man, you know, I was Catholic too. You know, and let me tell you what I learned, you know, so I get it, you know, I was raised up and I go, hey, kind of boring, isn't it, man? You know, I mean, come on now. And they kind of, it is, you know, they're not dumb, you know, I kind of get in heart a little bit. So Paul was doing the same thing here with his Jews. Nothing really changes. We're just driving, you know, cars with push button stuff and drives force, and they're driving horses and things back then, you know, so, okay. Now let's look at 6 to 21. I don't want to read it because of time's sake, but Paul gives his testimony how he came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This changed the directions of Paul. Now note this here. No matter how we present the gospel, the Lord is the one who will bring in the results. Get that? You know, I'm a result kind of guy. I want to push it, but the Lord's the one that's going to bring in that. The Holy Spirit. We must faithfully give the gospel and leave the results to the Lord. That sometimes, you know, if a guy like me is a business guy, I want to push. But I've learned, hey, I'm going to print the gospel. I'm going to listen up. But the Lord's in charge of all that stuff. I can just tell many times the Lord, the Holy Ghost coming down right in the midst. I know there, and the Holy Spirit's ministering. Let him be the results, you know. Okay, so now look at verse 21 to 23. So 21 to 23, it says, "And as he said unto me, depart ye, I will send ye far." Now, this is the last part of testimony Paul's giving to these Hebrews. They're listening all this time. And he says, "Depart from me, I will send thee friends into the Gentiles." That just was that bad word. I mean, and he knew, I mean, he's telling you, you know, that was a bad word for these Jews. And they gave him audience unto this word, and they lifted up their voice and said, "Away with such a fellow from this earth, for it is not fit that he should live." I mean, it really stirred their hearts, you know. I mean, they were mad. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air. I mean, think about it. I mean, the Lord is working. When someone gets that aggravated, they were listening. Remember, they don't listen. Nothing. So they're definitely positive listening. And if you go back kind of to Acts chapter 17, just a few verses, just a few chapters here, just real quickly here, when Paul was preaching there in Athens, Greece, it says here in verse 32, and when they heard, they had the idol there, had no name on them. Remember all that story, though, who's this unnamed idol? And then Paul had opportunity to springboard and give him the gospel. And it says in 32, it says, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, here's your typical three responses. Some mocked. Well, these are Jews. They mocked. They just about had a fit. So some, they mock as they were speaking to Greeks on a philosophy, but when they were speaking to the Hebrews, they just had a fit. And others said, so that's a bad spot, a bad reaction, but at least it heard. Some said, we shall hear thee again of this matter. So they're now saying, hey, not now. Still a bad answer, but at least they heard some truth, but not now. So either they mock or get mad later. I know it's right, but then it says here, so Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, certain men clave to him and believe. So there's your groups. Either it's no, later, or believe. Those are the answers you can always get. So our job as believers is to kind of get the word out there, get as much scripture as you can before they whatever happens, and then that's God's part. They're either going to mock later, or they're going to. Get saved. Now, Paul used wisdom to get out of another scourging. Go back to verse 25 here. It says, and as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is Roman and uncondemned? Now, you know what happened is, if you look at the old Paul's testimony, all the trouble he's had, a night and a day in the deke, bitten three times at rods. You know what though? He probably got tired of getting beat up. I don't blame him. I'll take it for the Lord. But after getting beaten 40 times, save one with a rod, this is the third time he got out of a beating, by the way, in a few verses here. He's using wisdom now. Get that, So, hey. So now, I'm going to get beat up again, man. I'm getting kind of old for this. Remember, he's now at the end of his ministry, right? Try to use some wisdom here, I don't want to get beat up again. I'll do for the Lord, but this is like enough, Remember when he got stoned, he went back in the city next day, when he got stoned again, right, early on? Hey, I saw the Lord, man. I want to go back into that city again. He was, you could see him, I guess I always were maturing or seeing him grow throughout these 30 years of ministry. Anyway, so, in 25 application, sometimes the right words and knowing the law can go a long way. Now, our pastor is big on the law. Knowing your law, constitution. I learned a lot from him. Got his book. I have to admit, he's got some good stuff there. So there's no question. There's some knowing the law is a key thing. I think I told the story before, but back when I was a Gideon, when I had the King James Bible, we did a school in Lyle. It was a junior high or middle school, and we would give out Bibles. We was in our suits, and we always walk in and tell people we're here. Not permission. We're going to be out there as a courtesy. Four or five men would line along the street. This school was great because the school buses were here on the street, and they had to come by the sidewalk to get the Bibles. Sometimes you had to get away, a little ways away, but they had to come by us. And we went the year before, and the principal, a Lutheran, was he mad. He goes, you come back here again, I'm calling the police. And I want to go that one. I'm young and dumb a little bit more than the Lord, but I'm going to go on that one. I want to for sure make it that one there, So I'm right in the center, And here comes the kids out. They're young kids. I had a box of 100 Bibles. I'm handing them like candy. I'm kind of showing the principal, he's there. He's, I'm calling the police on all you guys. And I'm kind of showing him, I have the box empty. Maybe a little cocky, right, younger days. And so here comes the police officer, a bald-headed guy, and he goes, get that guy, pointing to me. I'm the guy right there in the front. I go, oh, man. And I can tell him pointing right at me, There's five guys here. I'm the guy in the middle. So the police officer grabs me by the arm. He goes, we're going to jail. Now, I wouldn't worry about going to jail. I already knew the rules of the Gideons. I knew the Constitution. I was not worried about, I don't want to go to jail. The hassles. It's a hassle, I don't look to brag about it. I don't look to preach with a toothbrush in my pocket, last thing I want to do, So knowing the law, I go, okay, I'm walking with the guy. He goes, I'm taking you to jail. And he's walking with me, and he had his arm on me. I didn't want to push him away because, you know, we were resisting arrest, you know. So he grabbed my arm on me, and we're walking. And just so happened that he parked next to my car on the side of the road. And I go, oh, look here, officer. Thank you for walking back to my car. And I go, here, I have the box in my hand. Hold this box. And the Lord took my box and held it. And I took my box. I seen his ring on there. There had to be two box Bibles up in the box. And I heard her head. I go, oh, you could, that's for you and your wife. He stood there holding my box. I just got in my car. And believe me, when I backed out, I got out of there, you know. That was it. So the Lord used some wisdom. See, just a little bit of wisdom. Hey, I went cocky. You know, hey, you can't arrest me. I know the law. You know, okay, well, Lord, what do you want me to do here? And the Lord just kind of, that's where the Lord just shows up. And that's just a little thing that you and the Lord have, dealing with you in a different way. And that's what I'm saying. That's those personal things that the Lord does that just make him just real sweet. Get that? So Paul here, same thing. He knew the words to say right here, to get out of a beating, you know. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." A Roman citizen could not be punished until he had been proven guilty of a crime. Verse 28. Note those days. You notice it says here. Romans says. Note it says 28 says, "And the chief captain answered, 'With a great sum obtained I this freedom.'" Back in those days, you can buy your freedom being a Roman. You know that. That's what that means there. You know, because they wanted to get under the Roman law because there was a protection on that. I mean, whatever, you know, was still unsaved, but there were protection. So he bought where Paul was born a Roman. You know what we got going on today? Our country, people want to come to our country because they said there's opportunity for freedoms. And they come in, you got to kind of prove yourself. My son-in-law had to go through all this immigration and papers. Somebody had to sponsor you, whatever, fees. And now the whole thing's changed. They're paying you to come in here. Ain't that weird? Ain't that something? See how things are just flip-flopped? I mean, so there's some truth in being able to go. You don't want to go to, you're not going to go to North Korea, are you? You got to be kidding me. Or China? No, they're going to come to countries where there's some laws to protect you. And Paul noticed that here because that's why I'm a Roman. Application. We as Americans do have some rights. We should know them. See if any Pastor Hoffman's material, great stuff. America, we have value here. We're losing, I get that. But we should be able to know what's going on. Hey, I remember, and they're bringing people in here by the droves, you understand that? My wife got gas the other day, and a big van pulled up, and all these foreigners just got out. Got everything they wanted, came back in. Some guy's driving a van with 20 people in there. Where are these people coming from? When I was in Africa in May, I got a text on my phone. It says, hey, we have a very unfilled flight. If you want to pay $35, we'll give you two more seats, all three in a row. You can lay out. I'm like, man, what a deal, man. Sign me up, a 26-hour flight. I said, yes, I want those seats because I had 1, 2, 3. I can sit back and I back. So I said, I'm in, yes. We'll text you back confirmation. And I never heard back from him. So I go to the airport, a completely full flight. What happened? There was a guy bringing in foreigners, Hamites, and they have all these clothes on, 2, 3 hats on, gloves on, phones, couldn't speak English, couple next to me. So they gave these flights to somebody's paying for that. One guy alone had 45 people in charge of bringing him to Chicago. Where are they coming? Who's paying for this? I mean, see our country, the freedom we have. I mean, it's slowly slipping away. You get that? I mean, now there's behind it. Someone's putting up somewhere. I'm sure the devil's behind all that, obviously, you know. But we're losing our rights. And at least Paul understood what's going on there. Now, in verse 30, Acts 22:30, it says here, on the morrow, because he would have known for certainty wherefore he was accused of the Jews, he loosed him from his bands and commanded the chief priests and all the council to appear and brought Paul down and set him before them. Paul got out of a beating again by saying he's a Roman. And now Paul used these times and opportunities to be used of the Lord. Application. If we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit leading, it'll increase our opportunities to witness. even in the face of opposition. Get that? I mean, you think, oh, opposition, hey, let the Lord use that stuff. So, I mean, he in opposition, use good words of wisdom, get out of another beating, and now I'm able to present the gospel again. That's someone, that's the walk, show you the heart of a man here that's actually walking with the Lord. Acts 23:2-5. It's interesting here. Show you what we're going to today. Ananias. Because I got time, I don't read it, but it's Ananias. This high priest, this is Acts 23:2-5. He's a snake. He's a snake. He violated Jewish law by assuming Paul was guilty without a trial and ordering punishment. He's the high priest. And I think Brother Hoffman's got a note there, Deuteronomy 25:1-2. You could look at Deuteronomy 9:15. Shows you the law. You have to know you cannot punish someone without being accused, accuser, and so forth. So this Ananias, the quote high priest, he was a bum. A lot going on today, right? Paul did not recognize him as a high priest, most likely because he broke the Jewish law, so he didn't recognize his quote religion. I use that sparingly because, you know, the Judaism was a religion. He stood for. So application. Don't be an Ananias. Likened to what Ananias was not. We as Christians are not merely Christ's followers. We are Christ's representatives. Get that? We're the representatives to others. Many unsaved or saved folks will look at kind of us representing our faith in Lord Jesus Christ. So what we got today? A lot of phony Christians. I go to YouTube, preachers, I'm always looking in the corner. They're making fun of all these, you know, commercial preachers, you know, million-dollar homes and $20 million jets. And I mean, it's a mockery. A lot of people aren't even saved. They can see it, you know? I mean, it's a mockery. And Ananias here, nothing ever changes. Hey, yeah, get rid of him. They're supposed to be the high priest. They even recognize it. Nothing really ever changes. Get that? I mean, you read it. Hey, this guy's going the same thing you did. How did he react? Well, God gave you a principle here. Don't be so kind of cocky and attitude that, you know, God's working with you on some of this stuff, you know. So in Acts 23:6-8, Paul uses great wisdom. Now, this is the third time he avoided a wisdom. So in 23:6, he says, but when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and the resurrection of the dead. I am called in question. And when he had said so, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees say there is a resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. Just so you know, the Sadducees, they kind of only follow the first five books of the Old Testament, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and the Pharisees had them all. Kind of like our hyper-dispensationalists today. We have the same group today called the hyper-dispensationalists. All they follow is Paul, right? We had one meeting yesterday, right? You know, it's Paul. And they're kind of hyper-dividing them too. So that's why, and Paul recognized that fact and took the pressure off him and brought it on them. See that wisdom? That's the third beating got out of. Sometimes, you know, the words you have is better than having a gun sometimes, right? Or because you went, though, I'm going to use words here. So he kind of took the tension off himself with the unrighteous high priest and got the contention between the Sadducees and Pharisees. As a matter of fact, the Pharisees kind of went on the side. See how that is? As a third beating, he got out of 1, 2, 3. That's a smart man. I kind of like that. You know, sometimes you got to be careful. Pick your battles. Same thing in marriage or things you do. Pick your battles wisely. You know what I mean? Open your boots up and start handling some of these guys, you know? So listen to what Ananias was. Okay, Paul used great wisdom to move the debate off of him, bring it between Sadducees and Pharisees, and followed, you know, so in Acts 9:10, says, God helped Paul and draw the dissension on the resurrection and gave Paul relief again for another day. Holy Spirit gives you direction, for sure take it. Now, it's interesting. In Acts 23:11, this is real important here. Pay attention here. The Lord spoke to Paul while he was that night in jail. or being contained in the castle. So here now, obviously, the Lord is dealing directly with them. Today we have the word. We have the word. But he says in verse number 11 in chapter 23, it says, "And the night fowl, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified to me in Jerusalem, so must I bear witness at Rome." Now, if the Lord showed up you in one night and told you that, you'd be pretty encouraged. Hey, by the way, think of this here. Well, I know I'm going to Rome. Well, you're bulletproof. Well, yes, but you think, well, but you'll find out here in a minute here, Paul still did his part to use wisdom to get over there. He said, okay, I'm going to Rome. I'll sit here. Don't care about nothing. No, he knew, but, you know, God gave you talents and skills and a mind to think about some of this here. So, application. Today we have the word to bring us good cheer. And I got a bunch of verses here, but I'm lack of time. I don't want to go through them. But in Acts 23:12-15 says, it says that there were 40 men band together to kill Paul. That's how mad those people still were, right? So the guy had a beating there when he brought in the Pharisees and Sadducees, but 40 men got together. Man, that's the mad people. Now, hey folks, is there any 40 men gathered around to knock your lights out? Probably never have, right? Maybe one guy wanted to do it in high school, whatever, but think about it, 40 men against you. That's a small army. Think about that, you know. And so it seems like the powers that be, you know, are always against somebody. I know Trump is not, you know, the savior of the world. I don't even save. But when the powers that be are against somebody that we have, man, they'll get you. They'll try to get you. But if you've got the Lord on your side, he can protect you. That's why you have the Lord on your side. But if you're saved, they have the Lord on your side. And I think the Lord met him there because that'd be pretty trialing for somebody to know that 40 people are out to get you. Now, last principle, and I'll close this here. In Acts 23:16, without reading it here, this is the only reference to Paul's family I know in Scripture. Did Paul have loss of all things, including his family? It says here in Philippians 3:8, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the exceedency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, of whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them as dung, that I may win Christ." So here is a reference here to Paul's nephew. And if you read the thing, he heard of this conspiracy, and this nephew went into Paul, and Paul was wise. Hey, go tell the captain. Now, he didn't tell him the high priest because he was already a snake, right? Go tell the captain. And what's interesting about that, he's probably a young lad or young boy. I'll show you why. Because the young captain took him by the hand, called him a young fellow, young man there, you know? And so, because kids are generally innocent. They're not going to make up a story. So the Lord used this young man to rescue Paul. And it says it's easy to overlook children or young people being used by the Lord today, but they can be used. I mean, it's a good little application for young people. The young man who gave his lunch, what the Lord used for there. Look at, for example, Nahum's wife, the young maid who used Nahum's wife to tell about leprosy at 2 Kings. Children are important in God's view. Three times God mentions it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about their neck and be cast in the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. So that shows you how precious God looks at them, these young people that are kind of innocent. That's why, man, even in jail, if you're an abuser of young kids, they don't even like it. You know why? Because those people in jail, they were young kids themselves, right? Right, amen? And you mess with, they were young kids, and that's a bad deal, man. You're in a bad deal. So why does God look at people? Because I called him a young man in verse 22. So generally, these are innocent kids. So Paul used his nephew, talked to the captain, to give him an ear to rescue him one again. See how that is? I didn't say, well, God told me I'm going to go to Rome. Who cares? No, he used wisdom, thinking, a young child. That's what you got to do. What would the Lord use here? And application. Paul used wisdom to rescue him from the conspirators, even though he had heard from the Lord in verse 11. Yeah, he'd go to Rome. The Lord helps those who sometimes can't help themselves. We do all we can. Young people today, I said a little lazy, say that nicely, but God gave you 2 arms, 2 legs, 2 eyes, and do all you can, and you work, God'll work where you can't work. That's how salvation is. We can't save ourselves. So God stepped in and did them things that we couldn't help. Something to close about because of our time. I'm reading here in the Acts of the Apostle, right? And we have a story of Paul. I'm getting into the things here. How is the Acts of Paul Richardson going to be? We have books out there. Or the Acts of Mike Hare. Or John Phillips. Or Tim Duma. Think about that. There's books out there. They're the Acts of, we have them right here, Paul. Did some good things here, you know. But there's still books out there. I mean, that's why, how are your Acts, the activities that you're doing? Something to think about as we read about Paul, you know, and, you know, kind of follow people, follow up the Lord, how he worked. Here's Paul, he worked. God recorded it so we can kind of put ourselves in there and minister accordingly. That makes sense? So that's why we go through these things here and see how Paul acted, this wisdom and knowledge and encouragement, how he got out of some scuffs and how he used to present the gospel and be a blessing to the Lord. Okay, we're going to pray because we have folks coming in. Father in heaven, thank you very much for this words that you've given us, how we see how Paul in his later ministry, after going through a lot, now comes back in Jerusalem and gets out of some troubles using wisdom. And of course, you're leading, Father, and rescues him again, Father. And you recorded that so we kind of can emulate some of that and think about some of those things, Lord, that you're really in there working through, Lord, the midst, especially if we're out, want to get the gospel out and want to be a testimony and give our witness to others, Father. You're in that mess for sure. It's not a mess, Father. It's an encouragement for us. So I just pray that you think about some of these things. Thank you for Brother Frank being here. I know he's going to present this morning the word of God. May give him liberty and freedom and the power to pray, Lord, the word of God would fall on good ground and accomplish what it may, Father. And we'll give you the praise and honor and glory in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen.